I was visiting in a lady's home one day, just a few weeks ago, and she introduced me to one of her friends who was there, and she said, "This lady has been watching your television program for years, and she has a question she'd like to ask you." She said, "I've tried to answer the question for her, and I've told her exactly what to do, but somehow she doesn't have any peace." So I said to her, "Well, you just sort of tell me what's going on and what you're thinking in your own heart." So she began to share with me how, as a little girl, her family was broken, and she grew up not exactly knowing who her father was, but soon discovering who he was, and as a result becoming very, very bitter and resentful because he had left her when they were very, very small. On one occasion, she walked up to her father, and she said to him, "Do you know who I am?" And she waited for him to respond, and his response just made her that much more bitter and resentful. Years went by. They belonged to the same church. She'd sit on one side of the church, and he'd sit on the other. She knew that she was his daughter, and he had left them very shortly after she was born. And the resentment and the bitterness grew and grew and grew. There came a time when he became very ill, and so he tried to begin to make amends with her because he wanted to get things right in his family. And he made several approaches to get things right, and she wouldn't respond. And she was so full of resentment and bitterness, she wanted nothing to do with him. So one night he said to one of his friends, "Would you take me over to see my daughter?" Because he'd become very, very ill. He says, "Somehow I have to get everything straightened out between us." So his friend said to him, he said, "Well, I'll tell you, I can't do it tonight, but I will take you tomorrow night." That night, he died. And this woman said to me, all of these years of my Christian life, and she'd been saved a long time, she said, "I have been resentful toward my father. I've been bitter toward him. And then he died, and there was nothing I could do about it." And she said, "You know, somehow, all of my life, I've been full of resentment and bitterness." She says, "I love God. I want to do the right thing. God knows I want to do the right thing. But my father's dead, and here I have this in my life, and I don't know what to do about it." And so I began to talk to her about bitterness and resentment, and I saw that I wasn't getting anywhere. And finally I said to her, "I want you to think about this for a moment. As a father, if I had wronged my daughter, and I wanted to make things right, and my daughter kept rejecting my opportunities and rejecting my over to us to make things right, I would hurt very, very deeply. And I would be suffering deep down inside more than I could ever be able to share if I knew that I had wronged her and I wanted to make it right and she refused to listen to me and kept on rejecting my over to us toward her." I said, "You know, I would hurt on a level that I believe would be beyond my description." So I said to her, "Have you ever thought about how much your father hurt in the years that he tried to make things right and you wouldn't listen? Because of your bitterness and your resentment, even though he were wrong, can you imagine how he must have hurt when you wouldn't listen to anything that he had to say?" She began to weep, and all of a sudden she broke down. And so we had ourselves a big prayer meeting right there, and she began to ask the Lord to forgive her. Listen, not her father, to forgive her for her attitude toward her dad. And so we prayed through several things and got it all straightened out. She came over and gave me a great big hug around the neck. And here's what she said to me. She said, "You know, all of my life, I've been carrying this on the inside of me." And she said, "You know, I've been a Christian since I was a little girl. But," she said, "I've never been able to enjoy God." I wonder, my friend, how many of you are carrying things in your life that are keeping you from enjoying the very God whom you love, you say, and whom you serve, and whom you believe in. But there's something there that's stealing your privilege, your opportunity I've been enjoying the Lord. You know, most folks don't even know that they're to enjoy the Lord. You grow up believing and knowing that you're to serve Him and that you're to reverence Him and worship Him and praise Him. But whoever said anything about enjoying the Lord? You say, well, how in the world can you enjoy somebody who's transcendent, way up yonder, and absolutely holy and absolutely perfect? How can you have to sort of enjoy somebody you can get to know? So I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And you will find there are only two times in the Bible, in the New Testament, that this word is used, the word to enjoy or enjoyment here, only two times. And so there's not a lot said in the Bible about enjoying the Lord, but it is implied in many places. But listen to what Paul said to young Timothy as he was instructing him concerning those with whom Timothy was sharing and ministering to. He said in the 17th verse, instruct those who are rich in this present world, not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Listen to that. He says, now instruct them not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Don't set your hope on material things, but rather set your hope on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Now, it's interesting that that word enjoy there, the only other time that word is mentioned in the Scriptures is over in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, verse 25, when God is referring to Moses and he says, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So that word is only used two times in the New Testament. So we talk about enjoying the Lord. How many of you could honestly say, boy, I'll tell you, I really enjoy the Lord. Most of us were not taught to enjoy Him. What were we taught to do to Him? Fear Him, reverence Him, worship Him. Most people are taught to be afraid of Him. And you know, I began to think about what this woman said to me about all these years of her life she had not enjoyed the Lord. And I had to look at my own life and think for a moment that I've been a Christian for 40 years. How many of those 40 years have I enjoyed the Lord? And I had to get real honest with myself and recognize I haven't really enjoyed Him very many years of my life. Now, I accepted Him as a 12-year-old boy. I've worshipped Him, trusted Him, obeyed Him, attempted to love Him, prayed to Him. I have attempted to please Him and to accept Him as my God. And many things I have done, but I began to ask myself the question, how many of these 40 years have I just enjoyed God? And I'm going to have to confess to you, not many of them. You know why? Because I grew up in a legalistic church that painted God all judge. He was the judge, the jury, and the prosecuting attorney, and if I were lucky, I may get out by the skin of my teeth. That's the kind of legalistic system that I grew up in. And so it took me many, many years of my life to begin to understand to enjoy the Lord. But I never thought about how oftentimes we go through life carrying excess baggage, attitudes and situations and circumstances in our life that literally cheats us and deprives us of the privilege of enjoying the Lord. So I want us to look at the biblical basis for just a moment here of enjoying the Lord. And I want you to turn, if you will, first of all, over to the Psalms. Let's turn to Psalm 32 for just a moment and let's look at a couple of verses here. The 32nd Psalm. He says, if you'll notice in this passage in verse 11, He says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Now listen, if I am to be glad in the Lord, that means I'm to enjoy Him. If I am to rejoice in the Lord, that means I'm going to be enjoying the Lord. If you'll turn to Psalm 35 for a moment, and look, if you will, in verse 9. He says, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord. How can I rejoice in one in whom I cannot really enjoy the fellowship of? Look, if you will, in Psalm 37. And he says in verse Psalm 37, verse 11. He says, "But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." Delight themselves in abundant prosperity. And what he's saying here, of course, is that God is the one who gives the prosperity. Now go back to Psalm 35 for a moment and look, if you will, in verse 9. "And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord." Shall rejoice in the Lord. And what is one of our favorite verses the Bible says? Delight thyself in whom? In the Lord, and He will give us the desires of our heart. If I'm to be delighted in Him, I'm going to enjoy Him. Now, I want you to think for just a moment back in 1 Timothy what Paul said to Timothy. He said that you're to instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Now, watch what he says. "Who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." Listen, according to that, are we to enjoy things? Absolutely. There's nothing in the Bible that says you're not to enjoy things. Somebody says, "Oh, but we're not to have, we're not to love things." I didn't say anything about loving things, but he says that God is the source. He's the one who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe by the very nature of God, by which you and I understand Him, does God want us enjoying anything that He created more than He does to enjoy Him? Not really. If He says that He's created many things for us to, listen, He says, richly supplied us with all things to enjoy. For example, you think about the things that you possess today that you enjoy. If you're a sportsman, you enjoy your golf or your fishing or your hunting or your football or basketball, whatever it might be. If you're a woman, you may enjoy sewing or you may enjoy cooking. You may enjoy many things. All of us have things we enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you see, because a Christian ought to be happily, contentedly enjoying the things that God has given to us. Now, we can enjoy a few things or we can enjoy one thing or many things. It makes no difference. But would God ever give me anything to enjoy more than He wants me to enjoy Himself? Not ever would He do that. So that God wants us to enjoy Him. Now let's think about it this way for just a moment. When you think about enjoying the Lord, let's think about who He is and His attributes and how He's described in the Word of God. And let's see if He's worthy of enjoyment. When you and I think of God, or let's think of the Lord Jesus Christ for just a moment. Let's see if He's the kind of man you and I could enjoy fellowship with. Well, the Bible says, first of all, that He has accepted us just the way we are. Can you fellowship with somebody who accepts you just the way you are? You sure can. So He accepts us just the way we are. He's always willing to forgive us. He's loving. He's kind. He's called a good shepherd. The Bible says that He's the water of our life, the bread of our life, our protector, our provider, that He's our providential guide. The Bible says that He is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, preparing a place for you and me, and He describes heaven in those latter chapters of Revelation. When you and I begin to think about what He has done for us, what He is doing for us, the fact that you and I are going to spend eternity with Him and all of the attributes of Jesus Christ that are so compatible with enjoying His presence and His fullness, and He's the source of all the things that we have. He's the one who gives us contentment, and the fact that He has condescended, that He is willing to live His life, to live His life in and through us. Surely there are enough wonderful, well-known attributes about Jesus Christ to motivate me to think, my goodness, if I can enjoy anybody in the world, surely I ought to be able to enjoy Jesus Christ. But how many of us enjoy Him? Rather than enjoy Him, we're scared to death of Him. Am I going to do the wrong thing? What is God going to say about that? So, you see, when you think about enjoying Him, you sort of have to change your thinking for just a moment. Now, if you're married to a wonderful husband or wife, you more than likely enjoy them. In fact, you wouldn't even call them wonderful if you didn't enjoy them. But you see, many people set God off out here in eternity somewhere, apart from themselves, and somehow we're to enjoy all the things of life, but somehow we can't. You see, the perception we have is that God is so holy and so righteous and so transcendent and so far and above life and humanity that you're not to enjoy Him, you're just to reverence Him. Let me ask you a question. Does not the Bible tell us that the children love Jesus? Listen, you can take two or three children or one child, and you can set a grumpy grandfather over here, and a loving, joyful, enjoyable granddad over here, and you let that child go in a room, which one do you think he's going to? He's going to enjoyable granddad. Even a child is attracted to someone who loves them and accepts them just the way they are. But isn't it strange that we say, God is love. Right? God is love. And yet we think, how are we going to enjoy Him? You see, in our minds, our thinking about God is not exactly right. So we come to worship Him, to reverence Him, to praise Him, to serve Him. We want to be sure that we please Him. But we're to enjoy Him. Listen, how in the world can I have a deep, abiding, loving relationship with somebody I don't enjoy? Now, there's some folks that you know that you don't have a very good relationship with them. In fact, there's some folks, if you'd be honest, that you see them coming and you think, oh, Lord. You just sort of politely avoid them. You just don't enjoy being around them. Now, amen, say amen. There's some folks you don't enjoy being around. It doesn't mean that they're wrong and you're right or vice versa. Let me ask you this. Is it not true that if you see a person as a critic who doesn't particularly like you, who's always judging everything that you do, who does not particularly like the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you operate, they don't particularly like you. How many of you really enjoy being in their presence? That's what I thought. Not a one of you. Now, let me ask you this. If you don't see God right, you can sit here till you turn blue and I'll tell you, you do not enjoy a God whom you see only as one is a critical judge or one who sits in continuous judgment upon your actions. That's not the God of the Bible. And you see, so many people don't enjoy Him. We can spend 30, 40, 50, 60 years of our life serving Him, obeying Him, trusting Him, but not enjoying it. Did you know that's got to grieve the heart of God? Think about this. Suppose you're a dad, and your sons know to say, yes, sir, Father. And they want to be obedient to you, and they want to do exactly what you say do. And I mean, you know, they don't want to miss anything, and just whatever you say goes, and they're going to be just as obedient as they know how. And they're going to do exactly what you say when you say, but somehow, even though they're obedient, and they obey your every command, somehow they never get close, and there's no intimacy, no fellowship, and no loving relationship. There are many, many people who may obey their parents who don't enjoy their parents. There are husbands and wives who are married and they're going to stick it out till Jesus comes who don't enjoy one another. There are parents who don't enjoy their children. There are people who live right next door to each other who don't enjoy each other's company. And you see, what we do is we set God off and we don't enjoy Him because somewhere along the way somebody taught us, you fear God. You don't get too chummy with Jesus. You don't get too chummy with God because after all, He's sinless and perfect and righteous. And one of these days He's going to sit in judgment upon you. How are you going to get chummy with God? Let's look at it for just a moment. Why don't you and I, what is it within us? Why don't we enjoy the Lord? So I want to give you a list of reasons. So get your pencil and paper out if you will. And my friend, if you're listening or watching, if you'll jot these down, I believe they'll help you to begin to look at your life from a little different perspective and help you to begin to analyze why you do not enjoy being a Christian. Now, when I say enjoy being a Christian, I'm going to take it a step further. I mean just enjoy Jesus and enjoy God the Father and enjoy the Holy Spirit. Why don't we enjoy Him? So I want to give you a list of reasons, and you can probably add your own to that. First of all, we don't know Him. That's the reason why we don't enjoy Him. We just don't know Him. We know some things that have been said about him. We know some things the Bible says about him, but we don't know him. My friend, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sin, you don't know God. Now, you may know some things about him that someone's told you, but you don't know him. Because you see, Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is the living, express, visible image of God the Father. So to know Jesus Christ is to know the Father. So our goal is to know Jesus Christ, and in knowing him, we know the Father. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord in your life, if you don't know him as the Bible describes him, you don't know God. And if you don't know God, there's no way in the world for you to enjoy him. So the fact that we don't know him, that we live in ignorance of the reality of who God is. He's more than just a creator. He's more than just a judge. He is our life. He is our loving, forgiving Lord who lives within us, who walked within us moment by moment, day by day, who has described himself as a Father. What else more could God have done in order to show us the kind of enjoyable, intimate relationship that he wants to have with us, a relationship that is enjoyable, full of contentment? What else could he have said except that I'm going to make a covenant with you whereby I enter into a relationship of father to children. You see, not judge, but father to children. He says we're the children of the living God. And if we don't know him as father through his son Jesus Christ, there's no way in the world for us to ever enjoy the Lord. You see, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't enjoy God. I can tell you exactly what you're thinking. You're running. You're afraid. You know that one of these days you're going to have to stand before him and give an account for your life, so there's no real enjoyment in your life. And even though some of you are saved, just the fact that you know enough to be saved doesn't mean that you know enough to enjoy the Lord. You need to discover, who is this God whom I've trusted? Who is this God whom I serve? Who is this God that I profess to one of these days spend eternal life with? Who is he? It's if I don't know him, I can't enjoy him. So one of the primary reasons we don't enjoy him is we don't know him. We know some facts about him, but we don't know him in the intimate relationship with which he has provided for us to live. Secondly, and that is, we have a wrong view of God's attitude toward us. Now let me explain that simply this way, because I've already mentioned this to some degree. God is not a legalistic God. We have a wrong attitude, wrong viewpoint of his attitude toward us and our attitude toward him. God is not legalistic. He does not have a blocked set of rules. He does not look at us through that set of rules. He is not up in heaven chalking up through his angelic computer host. He is not up there chalking up black points against your name. That's not God's view of you, and that's not to be our view of God. If I only see him as this God whose primary objective is to scrutinize my actions, to investigate my motivations, and to check out my daily life, and at the end of the day, add up all of my activities and see if the good outbalances the bad, if that's the way I view God, I'll never be able to enjoy him. But I want to come back to say, we are to see him as a loving father. Now let me ask you this, how many of you fathers, every evening when your children come home from school and you come home from work, how many of you sit down and get at your pad and say, all right, what did you do from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this morning? Did you do what your mom said do? Did you do the thought? No, you don't do that. They come in, you love them, and they love you. Their attitude toward you is, you know, old dad loves me. He accepts me. He understands my mistakes. He forgives me when I fault and fall. I can tell my dad anything, and he's going to love me in spite of it. Is that your relationship? Your children, is that your relationship to God the Father? We have a wrong view of his attitude toward us. The Bible, listen, the Bible doesn't say God is judge, God is punishment, God is critic. The Bible says God is love. You see, we just need to get the emphasis where God placed it. The third thing I want you to notice is, one of the primary reasons that we don't enjoy him is that we're afraid of him. Now, our fear of God, you say, well, the Bible says, fear the Lord. But there's a difference in being afraid of God and reverencing the Lord. To fear him by meaning to reverence the Lord, that is, to honor him as my God. And I wouldn't in any way belittle in any way belittle who God is. That is, that He is transcendent, that He is holy, that He is righteous, that He is perfect, that He is absolute perfection. That He's all that the Bible says He is in His holiness and righteousness. That is true. And I am to approach Him humbly. I am to approach Him in thanksgiving. I am to approach Him recognizing that I have been saved by His grace. I am to acknowledge that He indeed is God and that I am absolutely and totally dependent upon Him for every single thing in my life. He is my God. That's true. But I'm not to be afraid of Him. Do you want your children to be afraid of you, that is, scared of you, to reverence you as their father, to acknowledge you and to respect you as their mother? Yes. But to be afraid of their mother, to be afraid of their dad? Any child who is afraid of their dad has a very unhealthy relationship. What has that dad done to make that child afraid of their daddy? Has God ever done anything to you to make you afraid of Him? Or rather, He has chastened you to teach you reverence for Him for your good. That's the reason God has a chastising hand. It is for our good. Not to create fear that you and I would tremble when we kneel before Him because we're scared to death of what God is going to do. Afraid of God. You get up in the morning, do you wonder if you're going to please God all day? When you make a mistake, do you wonder if God, before the day's over, He's going to give you a flat tire on the expressway at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to punish you because you made a mistake? What is your view of God? When God begins to bless you, does Satan throw up your old life and your old sin, and you begin to say, oh my goodness, this is not going to last long. God's blessings can't last because I can remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 weeks ago. Is that the kind of attitude you have? Are you afraid of what God's going to do? Listen, and I've heard all kinds of sermons, and so have you. Oh, I'm here to tell you right now, God will strike your children dead if you don't do so and so. Has it ever occurred to you that God loves the kids too? God isn't that kind of God. He judges sin, no doubt about that. He chastises His children, no doubt about that. But He doesn't want us walking around scared to death of Him. Let me ask you a question. Can you enjoy anybody you're afraid of? You cannot. If somebody intimidates you, you don't enjoy them either. Do you think God wants to walk around making you afraid of Him and then talk about this intimate, loving relationship, seeking the face of the Lord? You see, all of that's inconsistent. He wants us to love Him, to honor Him, to respect Him, to worship Him, praise Him, pray to Him, obey Him, all of those things, but to enjoy Him and the things that He has richly endowed us with. But if I'm scared of Him, I'm not going to enjoy Him. Another reason we don't enjoy Him is just because of plain old sin in our life. Just pure sin. Listen, you can't enjoy God if you're sinning against Him. For example, here's a husband and wife. If husband and wife are wronging one another, there is no way for them to enjoy each other. No way. If you and your friend are wronging one another, or if one of you is wronging the other, neither of you are going to be able to enjoy each other's fellowship and companionship because, you see, fellowship is broken. One of the primary reasons we don't enjoy God is because we sin against Him. And when you sin against God, the fellowship is broken, and surely you don't enjoy Him. If I should ask you, how many of you really and truly enjoy getting on your knees and just fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus and praying to Him and listening to Him and just rejoicing in His presence? How many of you really just enjoy being alone with God? I can tell you this, when you have sin in your life, you don't enjoy that fellowship. And then, there's the problem that we cannot accept our acceptance by Him. Now listen to me carefully. If you don't learn to accept the simple fact that Jesus Christ, through His cross, has made it possible for God the Father, in all of His righteousness and all of His holiness and all of His purity, that He can accept you. Yes, I know that you've sinned against God. I know that you've been saved by the grace of God. And I know that you're not perfect, and God knows that, but God accepts you as an imperfect saint. He accepts you as one who oftentimes struggles. oftentimes falls, oftentimes fails. But that doesn't mean that He rejects you today and accepts you tomorrow, rejects you today and accepts you. He accepts you just the way you are in your stumbling, learning walk with God. Listen to me carefully. If you do not accept God's acceptance of you, you cannot enjoy Him. You will not enjoy the fellowship of anyone whom you feel rejects you. I dare anybody to stand up and tell me, oh, I enjoy so-and-so's fellowship, and they reject me all the time. You don't. And you see, what I want you to see is that Satan has tricked us. And listen, we have a Christianity that boasts of love and oneness and unity and joy and rejoicing and all of these wonderful things. And here we are walking around our relationship to God and things aren't right. And we're not enjoying this God who is the creator of the ends of the earth. This God who has sustained us through the years. This God who lives within us. We don't enjoy Him because we're not quite convinced that even though He lives within us, that He's really accepted us the way we are. You know what we do? It's like sitting on the airplane, not putting all your weight down. Let me ask you this. You have based your eternity on God's love for you. Then, my friend, why don't you put all your weight down on God and just enjoy Him? Accept His acceptance of you just the way you are. That is one of the greatest challenges of the Christian today, to accept their acceptance by God. Now, listen, I didn't say that God's going to leave you the way you are. I said He accepts you the way you are. You and I realize, when we begin to think about it honestly, that God, before He ever saved you, knew that you were going to have a real struggle in some areas of your life. He knew that. He knew that you were going to have a problem with a covetous spirit, or a sensual spirit, or a jealous spirit, or a matter of deceit or dishonesty, whatever it may be. Or you may have a problem with procrastination, or poor self-image. He knew that you were going to have that. Do you think God said, well, I'm not saving him. I know what's going to happen. No. He saw all the mistakes, all the sins, all the frailties, all the weaknesses, and said, love him, love him, love him, love him. You know why? He accepts you just the way you are. And until you can accept that, you'll never enjoy Jesus Christ. How many of you, don't answer this, please. How many of you are married to someone who does not accept you the way you are and always trying to change you? I can tell you right now, you don't have an enjoyable relationship. Now listen, but God is one who accepts you totally. Just the way you are. And His changing of you is for your good and His glory, and His motivation is perfect. But you know, if you live with somebody who's always trying to change you, what they're saying is, I don't like you the way you are. I want you to be the way I want you to be. That's tough going. One of the primary reasons we don't enjoy the Lord is we won't accept His acceptance of us just the way we are. Next reason. And that is guilt. If I am living with guilt, there is no way for me to enjoy the Lord. Now, that guilt may be false. I may just have a false sense of guilt. Now you say, well, how can you have a false sense of guilt? If, for example, you have the feeling something is not right. What's not right? I don't know. I've confessed my sins, repented of my sins, and I've done everything I know to get everything right, but something's not right. What's not right? I don't know what's not right. I've tried to please God and honor God, but somehow, you see, that's a false sense of guilt. Now, if you're living in sin and you feel guilty, there's no way in the world to have an enjoyable relationship feeling guilty before a holy God. So one of the reasons we don't enjoy God is we live with guilt. And if I'm living with it, there's no way for me to enjoy a God who desires that I be clean and pure in His sight and who has forgiven me of my sin. So as you think back in your own life for just a moment, do you really and truly enjoy the Lord? Or can you single out one of these areas, and there may be many more. You may have some that nobody else has thought about, why you don't enjoy God. But you see, if your attitude toward Him is not right, if you're bitter toward Him about something, resentful toward Him about something, guilt, sin, don't understand Him, don't know Him, can't accept His acceptance of you, you can't enjoy Him. Here's what you'll do. Your Christian faith, which was given to you as a boost and a buoyancy all through life, all of your life, you've got to carry with you this weight of God on your life. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a happy Christian. Trying to be what God wants me to be. This loving, enjoyable rejoicing in the Lord. That's really the way we live. You see, we say one thing and do something else. And the only thing I want you to examine about yourself is just ask yourself the honest question, am I in... Listen, I've become a Christian. Is this thing a burden or is this an enjoyment in my life? God intends for you to enjoy being one of His children. Well, let's talk about how to enjoy the Lord. There's some prerequisites to enjoying Him. Some of them you could just take and reverse some things that I've said. First of all, if you're going to enjoy the Lord, you must enter into a personal relationship with Him. Listen, I didn't say believe something about Him. I said enter into a personal relationship with Him. You see, if you and I are going to really enjoy each other on a one-to-one basis, we've got to build a relationship so that all enjoyment of the Lord begins with receiving Christ as a person and developing a personal relationship. That's where enjoying the Lord begins. I've got to see Jesus Christ as someone, not only as God, but someone who loves me and who wants to build a relationship with me and I with Him, and I begin to build that relationship. It may be very small to begin with, but it's building a relationship. Secondly, just to say again in a different way, If I'm going to enjoy the Lord, I want to say it again because this is the key issue. Everywhere I go, it's the same old story. But you see, you don't know about me. And what they're saying is, I cannot accept God's acceptance of me. So, just to say what we said a few moments ago, if you're going to enjoy the Lord, you have to learn. You have to learn in your way to accept His acceptance of you. And let me tell you how you can do that. If you will look at your life in the light of what God says, not in the light of whether you think you are worthy or not, but in the light of Holy Scripture, if you will look at your life in the light of what He says about forgiveness, what He says about cleansing, what He says about eternal security, what He says about your position in Him, what He says about His position in you, if you will begin to look at your life from the viewpoint by which God sees you, you will be able to accept yourself. Listen, not on the basis of performance. Now, here's the big problem. If you look at your life and you judge God's acceptance of you on the basis of your good performance for today, I'm telling you, my friend, you will never accept God's acceptance. So if I'm going to enjoy the Lord, I must accept His acceptance. What's His acceptance based on? My performance? If I see His acceptance of me based on my performance of all the rules in this book, you say, well, now, I don't believe it's necessarily all the rules. Which ones would you eliminate? Now, wait a minute. If you say, well, now, I believe God's acceptance of me is based on doing certain things, which things? Is it the Ten Commandments? Yes, okay. What about the Sermon on the Mount? What about what Paul said in Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians? Where do you stop? If performance is based on obeying the Word of God, that is, if acceptance is based on obeying the Word of God, which part of it? Would you agree all of it? Well, if you don't agree on all of it, then which part of it? Well, we wouldn't agree on which part. So we'd have confusion. So, this person over here believes God accepts them on the basis of Genesis through Deuteronomy. This person over here believes that God accepts them on the basis of Acts through Galatians. And this person, you see, where do you stop and where do you start? If you can understand this one simple truth, God doesn't accept you on the basis of the performance of your behavior. He accepts you on the basis of what Jesus did at the cross. You accepted Him as your Savior. He became your life. God knows your struggles. He knows your frailties. He doesn't accept you on that. But if you're going to enjoy the Lord, you have to accept Him on the basis of what God says. So you have to see yourself from His perspective. All right? Next. If you're going to learn to enjoy the Lord, You've got to learn God's ways. Now you say, what in the world do you mean by learning God's ways? I mean simply this. As you and I learn by experience the way God works in our life, and the way He worked in the lives of those Old Testament saints, and the way He's working in your life today, record what God says. So you can go back and remember, and go back and review what God did in this situation. As you and I learn the ways of God, we begin to enjoy Him. Because you see, after all we think, I know what to expect this time. Here's what God did last time. You see, and you learn to build trust in Him. If you're going to learn to enjoy the Lord, you've got to learn the ways of God. How do you learn the ways of God? In the Scriptures. Listen, analyzing what God does in your life when you hit a brick wall. Analyzing what God does in your life when somebody rejects you. Analyzing how you respond to difficulty and hardship in your life. You see, as we learn the ways of God, then we begin to learn to enjoy the Lord. The next thing you and I must do is to learn to trust Him. Let me ask you something. Do you enjoy the fellowship of the presence of anyone whom you do not trust? Not on your life. If you're around someone you don't trust, what happens? You have your antennas out. They're just sort of sticking out there. They're just out there, and oh yes, everything is fine, but you're just waiting for them to say something or do something because you see you don't trust them. Now let me ask you a question. How under God's name can you and I enjoy a God whom we do not trust? Oh Lord, I know it's possible, but oh God, you see, we don't trust Him oftentimes. How can you enjoy God if you don't trust Him? If you're going to enjoy the Lord and take pleasure in your fellowship and pleasure in your relationship and squeeze all that there is in life out of it, enjoy every minute of it, you've got to learn to enjoy the Lord. And to learn to enjoy Him, you've got to trust Him. Let me ask you a question. How many of you put God on a performance basis? Well, Lord, I'm going to accept You if You perform a certain way. Well, I can tell you this. He's going to perform perfectly every time, but He won't perform to suit you every time. If you're waiting for God to perform to suit you just the way you want, He's not going to do that. He's going to perform correctly every single time. It may not be what you expect, but it will be perfectly. If I should ask you, do you fully trust God? More than likely you'd say, yes, I do. My friend, learning to trust Him is absolutely essential to enjoying Him. You don't enjoy fellowshipping with people you do not trust. You can't. To enjoy someone, you must trust them. All right? Next, keep short accounts of sin. If you're going to enjoy the Lord, listen, when you do something wrong, just say, Lord, I want to thank You for Your forgiveness and bringing that to my attention immediately, and I praise You for Your forgiveness in Jesus' name, and keep going. Don't stop and say, oh, my goodness, I've done it again. Oh, what's God going to do next? And Satan lets you wallow. Do you know what we do? We get a whole lot of mileage out of self-pity. We stir our guilt and we stir our disobedience. Oh, God. Somehow, you know what we are doing? We are punishing ourselves, makes us feel better. You've seen the kid who just absolutely was obnoxious till his dad took a strap to his hide. And then after he cried a little bit, he came in, he's feeling great. Why? He got the guilt off. His father whipped him. It is amazing how many of God's people do that. You know what? Here's our problem. We sin against God. God lovingly forgives us. We think we ought to have a whipping. So because God doesn't whip us the way we think we ought to be chastened, we whip ourselves verbally. We just absolutely whip ourselves down. Then when we feel bad enough, we get up and shake it off and say, well, thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. That's not the way God operates. Now, there is chastisement for sin. But listen, there is forgiveness that you and I can enjoy instantaneously because it was provided 2,000 years ago on the cross. Next. You want to learn to enjoy the Lord? Learn to praise Him. When you begin to praise the Lord, you know what happens? Your heart gets happy. What is it happy over? It's happy over the Lord. As you now begin to learn to praise the Lord and rejoicing Him and just sing to Him. You don't have to have a good voice to sing to Him. Just sing to Him and praise Him and read the Scriptures out loud back to Him. Take the hymn book. Sing it back to God. Read the verses back to God. Praising the Lord will enable us to enjoy Him. Well, let me give you an example. Haven't you been to church sometimes and we get one of these singspirations and we just sing and sing and we're praising the Lord and we get caught up in the Spirit and you know what? We're just happy in the Lord. We're just enjoying the Lord. Walk out the front door and it's night and you think, tomorrow's Monday. You know what happened? We're not enjoying the Lord. Because whether it's nighttime or daytime, Monday or Sunday, it makes no difference. The God who lives within you never changes. And He has made it possible for us to enjoy Him all the time, continuously. Let me give you a couple more quickly. Number one, add to that. And that is, put a priority on fellowshipping with Him. If you want to enjoy the Lord, spend time with Him. Listen, if you want to get to know somebody and enjoy that other person, you need to spend time with them. Listening to them, talking to them, sharing with them, being transparent. Letting them share their weaknesses, their faults, and their failures. You do the same with them. Share them with them the joys of your heart. You know what happens? You begin to enjoy the other person. There's some folks, when I see them coming, you know what? I just smile on the inside before I ever get it on my face. I smile on the inside because I just love them. I enjoy being with them. I enjoy being in their presence. They encourage me. I love to encourage them. And then there's one last one I'll give you. And that is the daily renewing of your mind. Because that is absolutely essential if you're going to enjoy the Lord. Because you see, if you listen to enough negative, which the world is full of, and they just begin. And you can listen to a lot of Christians who'll be critical of you because they don't understand who God is or what He's doing in your life. And they criticize you and you begin to listen to all their criticism and their negativism. Why do you think God's going to answer your prayer? Why do you think God's going to bless you? Who do you think you are? Well, God doesn't operate that way anymore. And all this negative, what happens? When you begin to believe that, you cease to enjoy God. Did you know, listen, somebody else can steal your joy? All you have to do is just listen to their negative attitude and they can absolutely rob you of your joy and steal your capacity to enjoy the God who created you for Himself. Now think about this. God created you and me for Him. Amen? Would God create a big bunch of grumpy people to spend eternity with? He wouldn't do that. He wants us to learn to enjoy Him down here because when you and I get there with Him, we're going to spend eternity enjoying God to the fullest. So what He wants is, He's got us in school down here teaching us how. And some of you are failing. You're getting a big F because of some of these reasons I've shared with you. And I'm simply saying to you, God intends for you and me to wake up every morning. Now listen to me, I'm not going to say you're not going to have some hard times, difficult times. You're going to have some times that are absolutely distressing. I didn't say that you are going to enjoy all the circumstances of life, but I can tell you this. You and I can enjoy our Lord in the most difficult and trying circumstances. My friend, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you've never begun to live. And if you will confess to Him your sins, asking Him to forgive you and placing your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and telling Him that you're putting your life in His hands, God will begin to work in your life in a supernatural way. And if you'll just take these few little ideas that we've passed on to you from the Word of God, from experience, and begin to incorporate them into your life, God will take your sadness, your negativism, He will take your despondency, your despair, and He'll turn it over, and God will teach you how to enjoy Himself. And listen, God may have given you many, many things to enjoy, but until you learn to enjoy Him, none of these will really be as fully enjoyable as God intended for them to be. Father, thank You for loving us and making it possible for us just to enjoy You, love you and praise you. And we just ask even right now that each one of us would be honest in our own self-evaluation. We would confess our lack of enjoyment. We would confess the reasons for our lack of enjoyment. We would deal with each one of them one by one, repent of each one of them, and then reaffirm our intimacy with you and begin to enjoy our relationship with you in order that upon our countenance may be the fullness of this joy, that others may see Christ, want Christ, believe Christ, receive Christ, and live like Christ. And this we pray in His name. Amen.